from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Start of a 3-game series. Orioles win yesterday, 4-2, tied for first in the American League's Eastern Division with the New York Yankees, who lost last night as they get walked off in Williamsport. We'll get into that later in the show. Matter of fact, Peter Schmuck will be joining us from BaltimoreBaseball.com to talk about the Orioles, where they stand right now. As we said, tied for first place, but since June 20th, 24-27. Ravens, only one preseason game left before the regular season opener at Arrowhead, taking on the defending Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs. And here to talk about the Ravens, the way they're put together right now, from the Baltimore Sun, let's welcome back to the show Brian Wacker. Brian, what's happening?
Good morning, guys.
All right, Brian, we were talking earlier, Vinny and myself, about the offensive line, and we've known since the free agent purge of last year's crew that it was going to be a work in progress, a lot of questions to be asked. Here we are through most of training camp, 2 preseason games. What's been answered outside of Linderbaum and Ronnie Stanley right now?
Yeah, not a whole lot, at least not officially, of course. John Harbaugh said at the beginning of this whole thing, he'd like to have the offensive line figured out ideally by the second week of training camp. Of course, that has come and gone. 2 preseason games have come and gone. I think this week will be a big week in determining those spots, with a joint practice with the Packers on tap, and of course, the preseason finale. I think really the only thing that's been kind of determined at this point, I think Voorhees probably a left guard, mostly because we really haven't seen anybody pushing him there. And then I think right tackle, probably Roger Rosengarten. I know, Patrick McCary has gotten some reps there as well, but they really, really would prefer to have him be that sixth man off the bench and kind of plug and play anywhere along the line. So, to me, I think, and then, you look at Daniel Falele in that right guard spot. Again, not a lot of people pushing him there. Ben Cleveland has been getting more reps at backup center. So, I don't know. I feel like it's been determined somewhat, but, I wouldn't be shocked if this team maybe looks at what's available on the free agent market, and maybe goes all the way through that Packers game on Saturday before deciding on those final spots. And who knows, maybe we do see, Patrick McCary get the start at right tackle or, somewhere else in that mix.
Now, when you looked at the pass rushers, I thought it was a really good showing for Ajabo. I mean, that was a pleasant surprise. Let me just say that.
Yeah, look, I think Ajabo had shown a little something in practice. Mm-hmm. You look at his first week back, looked a little slow, he looked like a guy, frankly, that was coming off an injury. He's only 9 months removed from that ACL surgery. And then this past week in practice looked a lot better. And of course, then you see him in the game, and I think Harbaugh was pleasantly surprised by that, because, you know, that's when you can really tell. Now, look, he's going against guys who are backups, but that said, his, you know, his burst looked good. We saw him drop into pass coverage and be able to get kind of, you know, back there with that without much difficulty. So to me, he's a guy that looked really well, looked really good, you know, and they're going to need him, because you look at the rest of that group. Of course, you got Owe. Of course, you got Van Noy. Adisa Isaac still being ramped up. So to me, there's a little bit of question mark. And I think, you know, maybe we'll see them use some of their defensive line, and maybe they move Justin Matabike around a little bit and shift him to the outside on occasion. You know, certainly they can play more dime coverage, and you get use guys out of the secondary, whether that's Kyle Hamilton or somebody else. So, you know, to me, it's a thin group at outside linebacker, but I think, to your point, David Ojabo took some nice progress this week.
All right, when we look at the receivers, all right, we got Bateman, Aguilar, and Flowers. And then I'm guessing, you know, Wallace kind of makes a play in every preseason game thus far, so I think he's won. And then what else do we have? I mean, Wade's made some nice plays the last two games. Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, and you can't forget about Tylan Wallace's special teams ability. So I think for a guy like that, you know, that really bodes well. I mean, look, he won them a game last season. That can't be forgotten. You know, Devontae Walker, we're not really sure what to make of him at this point. The rookie receiver, fourth-round pick, you know, he's a guy that has a ton of speed, is kind of unpolished as a route runner, hasn't really – done much in camp. He's been dealing with a rib injury, according to Harbaugh. So, you know, he didn't even play a lot this past week. So clearly, you know, I guess the rib injury is something that's bothering him. Still, you wonder if he's perhaps headed towards injured reserve maybe at some point if they need to open up some spots. I think another guy who's looked good, Anthony Miller, mm-hmm. a guy they just brought in a week ago. You know, he played well, I thought, in practice and in the games. You know, Keith Kirkwood, a guy, you know, probably a long shot, but has looked good in practice and had a couple of catches, I think, in that game. As you mentioned, Dayton Wade, really nice move, that little stop-and-go route mm-hmm. to get open on the long touchdown pass from Emory Jones. So I think there's some competition. You know, Deontay Hardy, I think he's their kick returner, so, you know, that takes up a spot. But I think there's some competition maybe for that sixth spot at receiver between some of these guys that we just talked about, whether that's Walker, Wallace, Anthony Miller, perhaps the Dayton Wade. But I think they're likely to carry six receivers when they get to cutdown day. That's what they did last year. That's what they've done in the past often. So it'll be interesting. I think it certainly helps, however, to have a guy like Isaiah Likely, who is effectually a de facto wide receiver.
Now, at the running back, the third running back spot, I could kind of see them getting a guy who gets cut, you know, because, I mean, I've seen, I don't know if you've watched, or Bob, if you've watched the Hard Knocks, the Chicago Bears Hard Knocks, I mean, the second one, those running back, they're two undrafted guys, the kid from Howard. He looks really good.
You don't like Rasheen Ali, is what you're saying here?
Ali, well, when you come out, you know, I liked Ali at camp, and then, like, his first play, what's Harv's biggest pet peeve? He fumbles the opening kickoff, you know, in the opener, and then he drops a pass, and then he hadn't been back since. So I don't know. Whereas I would be looking for more of a really fast guy.
Yeah, and look, I don't think it's a stretch to say that neither Rasheen Ali nor Owen Wright have jumped off the page this year, this summer, the way obviously a guy like Keaton Mitchell did last summer. So, look, Wright, I think, is a guy they like a little bit more than Ali from the standpoint of, you know, he's been in the offense for a year. He's flashed a couple of times during camp, you know, had an okay preseason behind really what's been a not great offensive line performance from a run blocking standpoint. You know, he does a decent job, I think, pass blocking. But, you know, would I be shocked if they went out and added a guy in free agency? No, not at all. You know, they did that during the season last year. when they brought in, you know, Dalvin Cook. I don't think he's coming back here, but you know, there'll be a guy. But at the same time, look, you know, when it comes to the running backs during the season, really the bulk of the carries are going to go to Derrick Henry and Justice Hill, and that third guy is really just going to be mop-up duty, special teams. And to your point, certainly there will be guys on the free agent market as we near cutdown day that will be available. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. And of course, they still have Mitchell, who they, you know, say is ahead of schedule in terms of his rehab. I'll actually have a story on him coming up. And, you know, he's a guy who you don't really know what you're going to get once he comes back. But if he's anything what he was before, they'll be just fine.
Brian Wacker, Baltimore Sun, video at 81.057 The Fan. Real quick for you, Brian, you mentioned Adisa Isaac. He left the game Saturday, went to the tent, never saw again. Actually, we saw him leave the field. Any idea what happened to him?
Well, it sounds like just cramps, according to John Harbaugh. You know, again, this is a guy that's not really in football shape, so they need to ramp him up and do so quickly. The regular season not far away, so I think he'll be just fine, though.
Brian, appreciate the time. Enjoy Green Bay.
Thanks, guys. Always a pleasure.
You got it. Brian Wacker, everybody, from the Baltimore Sun. And John Harbaugh is going to meet with the media today. And we know that John doesn't like talking about injuries a lot, but I'm sure we'll get a status report on the banged up other birds here.
Yeah, I would. That's what he'll be doing. And, you know, with Harbs, you never really know. He doesn't go into great detail on any of them. So we'll see. And I'm hoping that Lindenbaum gets back soon. I hope he's back so he can practice against the Packers.
Ravens back on the practice field today at 1:30. John Harbaugh, Lamar Jackson, and others will meet with the media, so stay tuned for that. We'll come back, whip around, and then at the bottom of the hour, Peter Schmuck, BaltimoreBaseball.com. The Orioles have a losing record since June 20th, but here they sit, tied with the Yankees for first in the American League East, tied with the best record in the American League. Which team is most capable of getting hot here and taking control of the division as we're in the final couple weeks?
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
August.
Biddy and Haney's Whip. Brought to you by Box Hill Pizzeria and Crab Cakes. The best crab cakes in Harford County.
105.7 The Fan.
Good evening, Haney. 105.7 The Fan here on this Monday. College football starts in less than 2 weeks. Maryland opens on August 31st against UConn. I know Mike Locksley said at the media picnic a couple weeks back this could be the best team he's had, but quarterback still to be determined. Offensive line looks to be in somewhat chaos at this point in time. Three straight bowl wins, which is great, but at this stage of the program, no pun intended, aren't we expecting to level up a little bit here? Yeah. And schedule looks to be favorable perhaps early, but gets real tough late because of the expansion of the Big Ten. Vinny, obviously, Maryland doesn't have to face the gauntlet like they did when they had the divisions.
Well, to me, the biggest issue that Maryland has, Bob, is, you know, they always lose a couple games that they're favored in, like Northwestern and what was it, Indiana? Mm-hmm. I mean, if they had won those games like they should have.
They win 10 games
last
year.
No doubt. No doubt. And that's the thing that I see with the Terps. And if they get good quarterback play, they may be all right. I mean, we'll see. I mean, I'm anxious to watch them. You know, Lox is fired up about his team, but you got to have good quarterback play and consistent quarterback play. I mean, Hemby should have a big year.
Yep. They have skill position guys capable of doing some good things, but quarterback gets Morris, the transfer from NC State, and then Billy Edwards, third year in the system. We'll see. Cam Edge played in the bowl game last year against Auburn. But the top 25, I'm sure you guys talked about it, you and Cordell, last weekend. Nolan, of course. Top five the same. Coaches poll and the AP, Georgia, Ohio State, Oregon, Texas, and Alabama. And we were talking a little bit off the air. If you're looking for a team that is ranked in the top 10, that might be a little on the overrated side, I think of Michigan front and center right now.
Yep. They're saying Michigan's overrated and Notre Dame is seventh. They're underrated. They could be a team that, and Bob, historically at Notre Dame, when a team that has won the national championship, it's year three of the program, of that coach.
Okay.
They've all been year three, like Devine, Holtz, all of them, year three. That's when they won the title.
And it's Freeman's third year here. They've been really good. Got quarterback change. Riley Leonard comes over from Duke for the Fighting Irish. But it's right now looks like Georgia's title to lose. Yep. It's the expanded playoff field. And I'm guessing there are going to be some hammer time puffy pantsers in the early portions of those. But it does open up an opportunity. Say Maryland does get on a heater to do some things. To like a couple years back, if they would have had the expanded field, I think Indiana with Penix would have been like a playoff team. Well, since then, they've kind of bottomed out, but that's neither here nor there. But could we see college football get to the point where the Cinderellas come out of nowhere in the playoffs to pull a stunner? I mean,
that's
you get to the final
four games, you got to win.
Yeah, you see the final four, and there's always a puffy panther in there.
Yeah, the problem with football, Bob, is depth. You know, I mean, the Cinderella team is not going to have the depth of a Georgia or Alabama, you know, to withstand four games.
It's 5880-1057 The Fan. We got NFL lunch coming up at 1 o'clock. Brian DiNardo, by the way. Brian DiArdo from CBS. Talks about NFL with him coming up at 1 o'clock. But there were a couple of preseason games of note. Ravens won theirs. We'll talk more about that. News from the Nest style coming up top of the hour. But a couple of first-round draft picks who failed in their previous destinations showed out a little bit this weekend, including Mac Jones for Jacksonville.
Jones turns and throws for the whole thing, and he's caught. Touchdown, Parker Washington from 25 yards away.
Mac Jones failed in New England, Or maybe New England failed him, Vinny, when it was all said and done. Jaguars TV network, but two touchdown passes. Mac Jones, 20-7 Jags over Tampa. He's riding the bench. Trevor Lawrence is the starting quarterback there. Just got paid handsomely to remain as such. But do we look at Mac Jones as a cautionary tale? I mean, Trevor Lawrence's rookie season had all that turmoil with Urban Meyer. But is Mac Jones a guy that could, you know, Mitch Trubisky, for instance, number two pick in 2017, ahead of Deshaun Watson, and maybe even more infamously, Patrick Mahomes. He's the backup. Does Mac Jones have a future maybe as a starter in this league somewhere?
We'll see. I mean, he's not going to get much play time. Well, the thing that he needs for him to become a starter, Bob, in the league, is he needs Trevor Lawrence to get hurt and he play like 6-7 games and show out. That to me, makes him valuable to another team. Otherwise, I don't know. I mean, he had a good rookie year, and then after that, it was bad. And a lot of it not his fault. The coaching situation there in New England was pitiful.
Now, Dallas, we know that Dak Prescott's the starting quarterback there, but another first-round pick looking to find a home in the National Football League took on the Raiders this weekend, and he did, like, first-round pick stuff.
Lance with play action on 1st and 10. Wide open middle of the field. McMath gets away from one and down to the 17-yard line on a 30-yard connection.
Trey Lance, Cowboys TV, ran for a touchdown, threw for a touchdown as Dallas beats the Raiders 27-12. Trey Lance, he was the third pick in the draft by the San Francisco 49ers, and we've talked about it for 2 years. If Brock Purdy would have played like the last pick in the draft, does John Lynch still have a job because of the Trey Lance reach that they had?
They wouldn't be on this run that they've been on. So, yeah, I mean, that's a good question. And Trey Lance was not ready to play. I mean, he was so raw. He played one game in college that year. And he looks comfortable and confident in the pocket. When I watch him in these last couple preseason games, he's getting better. He's getting better. But, I mean, what is this, what, year four?
I believe so.
Yeah. So it's been a while, you know, and they're being patient with him. And, you know, maybe they found a little nugget there because he can run and stuff, too. He's a good athlete.
Well, another first-round pick who's been around for a while and has been rather inconsistent, Daniel Jones threw two picks.
Oh, my God.
Preseason game for the Giants there.
Yeah, and some of the things that he threw was like, you know, I mean, the pick six, are you kidding me? And then he should have thrown a pick six like the first pass that he had, and Singletary dropped it.
Yeah, I mean this with all due respect to Giants fans out there. New England's going to stink. I think the Giants are going to stink, too.
Although New England's got a new coach, and the Giants will be looking for a new coach.
It's the Whip Around Vinny at 81.057 The Fan. This day in Orioles history, it is August the 19th, 1973. Memorial Stadium against the White Sox. Merv Rettman, Tommy Davis both drove in two. Dave McNally went complete game, 11-hitter. As the Orioles win on their way to the AL East Championship, 8-2. 1983, doubleheader Memorial Stadium. The eventual world champion Orioles sweep the Royals 5-4 in the opener as the Birds score three runs in the bottom of the ninth. Glenn Cicada, game-winning hit, scores John Lowenstein. Sammy Story gets the win in the nightcap. It was Jim Dwyer going deep. Cal Ripken singing one. Above that, Ribbies. Tippy Martinez gets the win. 10 years ago today in Chicago against the White Sox. Was it Todd Hundley? Nick Hundley. Nick Hundley, the catcher, hits a home run for the Orioles. Boy, 10 years, I forget that. I mean, I know who Tommy Davis is. I forgot about Nick Hundley. But Chris Davis drove in, too. Chris Tillman picked up his 10th win. Orioles win 5-1 on their way to the AL East. And then a year ago today in Oakland, Austin Hayes and McCann.
Wow.
Both go deep. And the Birds score 5 in the 10th to win there. Fuji blew the save, or it wouldn't have had to go to the 10th inning, but it did. And Felix Bautista got the win, 7-2, Orioles over the Oakland A's. Birds win yesterday, 4-2. We'll talk more about that with Peter Schmuck when we come back. As I pointed out, throughout the entirety of the season. The Orioles have not won back-to-back American League East championships in 50 years, 1973, 1974. Can they pull it out somehow this season? Are things as dire as a lot of people say they might be? I know a lot of people worried about the bullpen. We'll see what Peter Schmuck says next here on The Fan. Get here to talk about the Birds, and yet we sit on August the 19th, tied for first in the American League East, tied for the best record in the American League, and they've had a losing record for almost 2 months. From BaltimoreBaseball.com, let's welcome back to the show. He is Peter Schmuck. Peter, good morning. What is up?
How you doing, Bob? Welcome back. I was wondering if Vinny and Cordell had started a coup.
Oh, well, if I get paid, you give me money, I'll leave. I mean, look, I'm good. Don't worry about me. You give me a big old handsome check, the kid will walk out of here with no regrets whatsoever. But let's talk about the positive first. Best record in the American League, tied with New York for that. Despite all the injuries and the struggles offensively and the bullpen woes, which we'll get to. But Albert Suarez, we talk about feel-good stories, and Albert Suarez is a guy that most people, myself included, Peter, a year ago today had no idea who he was. Now here he is, maybe someone that's starting to earn consideration, possibly for at least getting a most valuable Oriole vote. When we talk about the importance of players this season, what about Albert Suarez? Where's he rating right now on the Peter Schmuck meter?
Well, he obviously is a tremendous godsend considering everything else that's happened. And you're right. It's really a strange situation that this team has played the way it has over the last couple months. And every other good team in baseball seems to have played just as poorly or mediocrely. And that's fortunate for the Orioles. But Albert Suarez, you know, when they first trotted him out there, you go, boy, if this is the kind of guy you got to get, you're in a bit of trouble in the middle of the season. And he's just been fantastic. I mean, come on, guys. Could anyone have imagined that we'd be talking about three straight, you know, scoreless appearances filling in for Grayson Rodriguez? I mean, they have really, really, I shouldn't say gotten lucky, because obviously they knew something because they went and got the guy. And, you know, it's fun to watch. It's fun to go down and talk to him in the clubhouse because he's such a solid guy. And, you know, I hate to say this, who knows how long this lasts, but while it does, at this moment, he would be on my MBO vote. He wouldn't be first or second, but he'd be on my MBO vote. MBO, I can't say that.
Gotcha. Most valuable Oriole. Yes. But Peter Schmuck, let's go to the opposite end of the spectrum. And Craig Kimbrell, who's a guy that might be getting Hall of Fame Cooperstown votes before it's all said and done. But the struggles have been well documented over a month now, where he's had a really hard time getting people out. He looked so defeated on Friday night in that game against the Red Sox. What did the Orioles do with him? Because I was thinking, you know, this was the angry fan with a couple beers in me Friday night, Peter. Like, yeah, he's getting DFA. Then you saw that, hey, Povich is coming up. I thought he was going to be the corresponding roster move. He's not. How do you straighten him out? Can he be straightened out?
That's the $12 million question, because they have two courses. They've so far taken the we're going to try to fix him course. The other course is, and I'm leaning in this direction. I think you might be too. The other course is you DFA him because you can't be tempted to send him out there anymore when it counts. Okay. And if we're reaching a point, 37 games, I think, left in the season, we're reaching a point where these losses become increasingly deflating when you have a lead and you lose games like that, and they get more and more. I know every game's the same importance in the standings technically, but they get more and more important emotionally. And this is a tough call for them because they're spending money on him. They're short on relief already. And so I guess they're going to try to stay the course and hope that he and Gregory Soto figure things out. And Soto seems like he is starting to, but this is the great dilemma going forward.
Hey, Peter, it seems like Gunnar, whether he started hitting home runs and his fielding got better too, because he made some fabulous plays over the weekend, or his fielding, you know, improved and his hitting improved. But all of a sudden now it's hand in hand.
Yeah, I think it all, you know, it does all go hand in hand to some extent, but he was going to start hitting home runs again. He had a real gap there, but even in part of that gap, he was hitting the opposite field and doing things. You know, if you take out that 5-game or 6-game stretch where he made all those errors, I think what happened there was, you know, there was a come to Jesus meeting with the infield coaches saying that you have to learn when to be heroic and when not to be heroic. And that's why, you know, several of those errors were him trying to make a play. He should have held onto the ball. And so he got a little smarter, and now the home runs have started again. And the big hope right this minute for these guys is that Adley and he have just turned it back on for the last 37 games. And if that's the case, they're going to win the division. If it's not the case, they're still going to make the playoffs. And then we can go on worrying about the bullpen and the rotation.
Now, Peter, what about Povich? Because I was at the game Saturday night, and he pitched extremely well. Then, you know, for pitching well, he got sent back down, you know, to Norfolk. Will he be back again soon?
Oh yeah, I mean they're manipulating the roster almost on a daily basis. But technically, you can't come back for 10 days when you send them out. But if you have an injury, you can come back. And so, you know, their teams have been, you know, manipulating that either honestly or dishonestly for decades. And so, yes, he's definitely going to be coming back. Is he that guy, or is he the guy in the previous 5 or 6 outings? I think they've been working with him both down there and up here. And it seems like he has reduced his pitch repertoire. I think they told him to concentrate on 3 or 4 pitches instead of 6 or 7. Now, whether this was the result of that, you certainly hope so. He was terrific. I mean, he was terrific. And that's what that's the guy they see in the minor leagues. You know, maybe he's just got to grow a little bit here like all these other guys that come up and have a struggle for a while.
Peter Schmuck, BaltimoreBaseball.com, joining us here, Vidi and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Peter, last thing for you. You've covered baseball for a long, long time. Not to say you're old, you're wise, and you're learned, and you know
experienced
a lot of these things. Are we cool? Look, I'm all about the expanded playoff field. I know it goes away from tradition. You know, I was just 4 when they went to the 4 divisions in 69, and people losing their minds there. And then the wild card, now you have all this. But are we cool with the, hey, there's no real dominant team, throw a dart, and if you hit the right team, there's a chance they could possibly make a deep run in the postseason. Orioles are obviously one of them.
I definitely agree with you on that. I think you could go over to Maryland Live or the Horseshoe or whatever, and you'd be tempted to go to the odds on the World Series and pick a bunch of 20-to-1 shots for $10 each, you know, just for fun, because we saw last year with the Rangers and Diamondbacks that with this 4-tiered playoff system, it's just a crapshoot. But you know, still, you know, the team that has the best bullpen, the best starting rotation, will probably win. But you know, we're now in a situation where you know, every team could have a bad 5 or 7 game series, and that's going to make it interesting and frustrating at the same time.
Peter, what's happening at BaltimoreBaseball.com here on this Monday?
Oh, just trying to put up with Rich Dubroff, and you know, it's never an easy thing. And yeah, we're just enjoying, like everybody else, we're just enjoying the Ravens, the Orioles being so relevant. And, you know, we're starting to cover the Ravens over at BaltimoreSports.com, so I'm excited about them too. And as long as some running back doesn't burst over the sideline and accidentally injure Lamar, we'll be all set.
Peter Schmuck, appreciate the time as always. Enjoy the rest of your week, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Talk to you guys soon. Thanks.
All right, Peter. There you go. Peter Schmuck, everybody. It's Vidi and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back. Funhouse trip. Nolan McGraw. That news from the Nest coming up top of the hour. Going to hear from John Harbaugh and Josh Johnson talking about their performance over the weekend as the Ravens beat the Falcons 13-12. We got buy or sell coming up at 12:15. Where's their early week money? And we'll start looking at the projected Ravens 53-man roster because there's only one preseason game left. That's this weekend against Green Bay. Out there at Lambeau. A lot of bubble guys for this year's Ravens team, but still a lot of questions to be answered on the O-line and with pass rush. But are we feeling better about the secondary, in particular the cornerbacks, based on the play of Pepe and Jalen Armour-Davis? Out of one winning drive, but let's get a call in here. Let's go to Woodbury, get Joe. Joe, what is up?
Man, you've been gone so long, I was tempted to sing Welcome Back.
Welcome Back Cotter?
Yeah, it was Welcome Back Haney. That's what it was. I had a song. Yeah, but anyway, I only called in because I was just listening to you, happy to hear you. But you said something that I was telling people I would do. I heard you mention DFA Kimball, because I'm going to tell you this. Bob, I've never heard an Oriole player being booed off the field. I'm 63, going on 63, and I've never heard anybody ever play for the Orioles been booed off. And I think Bob is so bad, he might get booed coming on the field if they bring him out there. So I heard you say DFA. If somebody take him, it would be a godsend, but I know it wouldn't. Let him go down in the minors and just work on some stuff, man. You can't put him out there unless you got a 5 or +1 lead, because you're giving away 3 once you put him out there.
And what's the point? And we were just talking off the air, Joe. Why have him on the team if he's someone you're afraid to put into the game? You know what I mean? And look, I was not anti-Kimbrel back when he struggled in May. And he pitched really well for basically a month and a half, yep, to the point where he deserved consideration for the All-Star game. But now, his last 13 innings, he's given up 4 home runs. And he can't throw strikes. People are just, they're drooling at the plate trying to get some of that. And he looked Friday night like he was ready to start crying the mound.
And then if he lets a runner on base, they're going to second.
They don't even hold him. Right. Whatever. Johnny Bench could be back there and ain't throwing nobody out.
Hold up. Slow down, Bob. Hold up. Y'all must didn't hear. When Philly sent him down here, they gave a parade. when Baltimore took him, they gave a parade in Philly. That's what some of my Philly friends were saying. Oh, man, we so happy y'all took Kimmel. All the parties gave out free drinks.
Yeah, well, we have – hey, Joe, thanks for the call, man. Good to hear from you and appreciate the well wishes. We basically have their bullpen from last year, Soto, yeah, Dominguez, and Craig Kimbrel. But, yeah, if he cannot help you, how does he help you? I mean, if they DFA him, he's not going to accept a minor league assignment, I wouldn't think. You never know. But, Nolan, what do you think, man? The Kimbrel train, people are jumping off. And I remember, because, you know, Joe, like you, I'm a little on the older side. I remember Alan Wiggins getting booed off the field at Memorial Stadium a couple of times. By the way, a trade I was all for at the – Glenn Davis. Oh, he felt the boo birds way back in the early 90s, too. But anyway, Kimbrel – what are we doing here?
Well, I mean, it'd be one thing if he could actually pivot and be a low leverage guy, you know, or even a setup occasionally guy. I mean, he just appears to have lost it altogether. Hyde's given him, it's been sporadic. They've been spread out, but he's put him in there and tried to kickstart this thing and get it going again in hopes that, you know, another, who knows, month-long streak of success could continue for him. It happened last time. Might as well try it again here, but I don't know. I think it might be gone for good. I don't know if it's just a fatigue thing. If this is it for his career, I don't know. But, I mean, earlier this year, I'm with you. It always felt like, okay, this was just a bump in the road. He can get back to being that guy. And now I just have zero confidence that he could even be average or serviceable.
Earn run average in July was 6.5. So far in August, in only 4 games, it's 9. And then his last outing on Friday night. By the way, Corbin Burnes had the worst start of his career as the Orioles put up 10 runs and lost. But Kimbrel came in, provided no relief whatsoever. And Baker's been scuffling here. So Logan Webb is hurt. Hopefully he'll be back. Same with Coulomb. There's a lot of hoping for things. Right now, the rotation is looking like the 71 Orioles compared to where the bullpen is right now, outside of, I guess, Dominguez. Am I forgetting somebody?
Well, even your trusted guys, Cano, we would say, is
hitting a lot of bats.
Yes. Yeah, if you got to identify the top 3 in the bullpen, Dominguez, Cano, Perez.
Yeah.
Even Cano and Perez, once every 3-4 times out, are going to be really, really shaky and might even blow the game. I mean, they tried yesterday. So, they just have nobody. And Dominguez, as good as he's been, it hasn't been the largest sample size. You saw what he was doing earlier in the year in Philly, where things can blow up on him in an instant. So 3 weeks from now, it could be, you know, he's the guy getting all the blame pointed at him.
Well, that's a problem for the Orioles right now. And unlike the Ravens, who are going into a season with uncertainty on the O-line. The Orioles are going into a pennant race.
All right.
With uncertainty in the back end of the bullpen. Speaking of the Ravens, when we come back, do we have time for a fun house or you want to blow it off for next hour?
We're already at 55.
Let's get the news from the Nest. We'll talk about the Ravens. We're going to hear from John Harbaugh. Going to hear from Tavius Robinson, who, as Vinny said, okay, made the game-saving tackle, if you want to call it that, on the two-point conversion. But year two, how much is he ready to level up? And the O-line continues to be a major area of concern. And rightfully so. Coming up at 12:15, we're going to count to money, buy or sell style, on this early week. It is Monday. And then we're going to look at the Ravens' projected 53-man heading into the final preseason game coming up later this week at Lambeau. Then a funhouse trip. And then let me make sure I pronounce this guy's name right. Let's see. Brian DiArdo, right? From CBS Sports. CBSSports.com. Talks about NFL with him as he has NFL lunch with us.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, 3-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.